Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, September 11th, the year of our Lord, 2022. And it is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. It is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, a time when we can worship together. We can reflect on the Word of God together. We can spend some time in silence together. So let's begin the way we begin around the podcast. We begin with the breath of life, celebrating life itself by simply breathing. And so we breathe. And as we breathe, I pray that the tension of the day, of the morning, whenever it is you find yourself listening and participating, let that roll off your shoulders and breathe and turn your face toward the heavens. Call to mind the people and the places and the gifts that light you up inside. And give thanks to God for all of it. And maybe a smile might come to your face as we enjoy the radiance of what is good and right and true and pure and lovely, and we remember it is all a gift. And in this spirit, we begin together in worship. Join with me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. You can find the bulletin just over to the right of where you found today's podcast. There's a little tab that looks like a notebook. You can click on it, tap on that, and the bulletin will come up. Let's begin. God calls to the lost, the least, and all who long for home. God calls when we wander from the path chosen for us and waste the gifts we have been given. God calls and welcomes us back to worship this day. Let us celebrate and rejoice in God's presence forever. Let us worship together. If someone's with you as you listen to the podcast, pause for a moment. Extend your hand, give them a hug, and say to them, "Peace be with you." And they might in return say, "And also with you." But share a greeting. And if someone's not in the room with you, take advantage of digital technology. Send them a text. Pause and give them a call. Peace be with you. Tell them you love them. Remember that this is a community. And while, even though we worship this way, it's about us together. So take a moment and share a sign of God's peace. Our gospel reading today comes from Luke's gospel in the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the word of God for the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Pensacola Beach is a beautiful resort community with our white sand beaches and the emerald green gulf and all of its shops and bars and restaurants. People come from all over the place to enjoy some time here. And in the downtown area, there are bars and restaurants and shops, and they all have signs out front advertising who they are and what it is they do. But as you head east from that area down Via de Luna, it's about, I don't know, about a mile from the church, half mile from the church, I suppose. There, one of our neighbors has a sign at the end of his driveway. And the sign simply and profoundly says, "Jesus loves you." Next to the sign is a wooden cross. How many times have I passed that sign? I mean, just passed it by. I read it. I notice it. And when I'm fully present, I notice that sign and I try to speak a blessing upon the neighbor who displays it. But I also think it serves as an illustration. How often do we just drive by one of the most profound, life-changing and eternal truths of all times? Jesus loves you. And we just shoot by at 35 miles an hour. Or 45. You know who I'm talking about. But we just pass right by. We don't really give it. We may notice it. It's a sign among the other signs. Jesus loves you. T-shirts 50% off. 2-for-1 well drinks. Jesus loves you. In the midst of it all, in the midst of the fun that is being here on Pensacola Beach, and in the midst of the drinking and dancing and carrying on and buying knickknacks and T-shirts, in the midst of all that, Jesus loves you. No, seriously, Jesus loves you. Jesus is passing through on his way to Jerusalem here in the 15th chapter. And this notion, Jesus loves you, that word's getting out. Jesus loves you and can heal you and can help you understand the ancient story better than anyone else has ever been able to explain it or practice it. Jesus can heal you. Jesus will light you up inside like no one has ever been able to do. He is passing through. And because of his reputation, particularly among the fringe members of society, the tax collectors and the sinners, right? Tax collectors, the most reviled in the community, traitors to their own people, and others who are off the path. They're in this crowd and they've come to listen to Jesus because they've heard that there's something about this one, this Jesus. But also there are Pharisees and scribes, those who are on the path, those who practice the law to its letter. They know the rites and the rituals and how to keep Sabbath and what to eat and when to eat it and what not to eat and when not to eat it, how to clean the cup and wash the hands and pray the prayers and light the incense and offer the burnt offerings. They have got it down. And they've heard about this Jesus. They've heard him preach and teach, and they've seen him heal. Some of them have seen the miracles with their own eyes, and still they are suspicious. Because he's not like them. How could there possibly be a Messiah who would hang out with the people that he hangs out with? He eats with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus hears their grumblings, and I believe he can read their hearts, and I also believe he has empathy for them. I believe he loves them, because as the sign says, Jesus loves you. He loves them. And I genuinely believe he wants them to understand what's happening right in front of their eyes. And so he tells a couple of parables. He tells two that are in the lectionary, and then there's another one we'll get to in just a minute. He tells the story of he says to them, which one of you having 100 sheep, if you lost one, wouldn't go find the one? Leave the 99 in the wilderness and go get that one sheep. Well, I don't know. Maybe if they consulted someone, they went to someone in accounting or went to some advisory board, if they're just looking at their business and if one of the livestock gets away, and someone picks up a phone and says, listen, I'm sitting here with the 99 sheep and I've lost one. Odds are the sound financial advice would be, you know what, just gather the 99 and get them to market. Don't worry about the lost one. We'll just have to write it off as a cost of doing business. Let's not worry about it. But that's not how things role in the divine economy, as Jesus tells us. No. No, what you do is you leave the 99 in the wilderness and you go find the one. Because each and every one of the 100 sheep, each and every one of them is loved and important and valuable. So he searches until he finds it, and then when he finds it, it's just one sheep. Throws it up on his shoulders, and he's so happy that he can't wait to get back into town and tell everyone, I found it. The sheep was lost, but I found it. It's been found. And then in a smaller, simpler way, he tells the story of this woman. She's counting her coins, and she knows how many she has. She's diligent about it, and she realizes one is missing. And rather than say, well, it's just one coin, I've got these, and I don't have time to go searching, no, I'm going to find that coin. Each and every one of these coins is precious and essential to me. It's a vital part of the economy of my home. I'm going to light a lamp and I will clean up everything and I will find that coin. So she does. She finds the coin and she rejoices. And again, she needs to tell someone about it. Share in my celebration. Jesus tries to draw the attention of the scribes and the Pharisees, but I know that the tax collectors and sinners, this rabble, is also listening in too. But he says to the scribes and the Pharisees, don't you see? This is the heart of God. This is the disposition of the realm of the heavens. That when one of these who's lost, who for some reason or another has gone off the path, it doesn't diminish their value in the eyes of God. Jesus loves you. Yeah, you're a tax collector. You really shouldn't be doing that. You've betrayed your people. This vocation that you've chosen, it pays the bills, but at what cost? But let me put your business card down and let me tell you this. He says, Jesus loves you. You, fearfully, wonderfully made. You, I see you at your heart, not your sin, not your occupation, not the ways you've gotten it wrong. I simply see you, not what you are, but who you are. And one by one by one, those who have drifted and wandered have been shoved off the path, have been scrounging and doing anything they can to survive and have found themselves in a completely different land on a different path. They hear one after another, Jesus loves you. Follow me. And when they do, the heavens light up with song. Not that they're displeased with the ones who have been doing their level best to follow. They're loved with that same level of love. But the one that was lost and feared lost forever, they've come home. Which takes us to another story Jesus tells right after he's told these two stories. He probably knew it was coming. It's the story that Jesus begins to tell in verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The parable of the prodigal and his brother. If you've been around church for a while, you've heard this story, or even if you haven't, you've probably heard a version of this story, this beautiful story of a father who has two sons. One is diligent and he works hard. He gets up early and he works late. And then there's this other son, this younger brother of his. He's never known what to do with this kid, this father. He's not much for working. He's restless. He wants to see the world. He's always been full of fire. And one day this kid comes to his dad and he says, Dad, he says essentially, I wish you were dead. But what he really says is, could you give me my inheritance now? Just divide everything up. Just give me what I have coming so that I can get out of here and live. And the father, knowing this child's heart, knowing there's really no way for him to keep him down on the farm, and perhaps the most loving thing he can do is to set him free and give him what he wants. So he does. The father loves him so much that he goes through the shame and embarrassment of dividing up his property as if he's died and saying, here, son, here it is. Here's your inheritance. Son packs his bags and leaves town. And he's having a great time. Long as he's got money in the purse, he's having a great time. When there's money there, the friends are there. And as long as the drinks are flowing, there's friends around and there's women and all the stuff that he imagined would be his when he could get off that farm and out of his father's house. And the party's on until the money wears out, runs out. And one day he's hired himself out to a farmer. And he's starving. He's slopping pigs and he's so hungry that he is ready to eat the slop that he's giving to the pigs. And in the moment, he comes to his senses. He gets into his right mind. And he realizes, none of these people here love me. There's one place where I'm loved. I got to go home. To go to my father's house, I'll come to him and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against you. I've left your love. And I've gone off somewhere else. And I've come to realize I was wrong. I'm just going to go home and tell him that. And so he sets his face toward home and he's heading home and he's rehearsing what he's going to say to his father. And I always imagine this, that the father has been, ever since the son left, he's been on the front porch of the house and he always looks toward the horizon. And he prays for his son. Enough time has passed where he assumes that his son, knowing that he doesn't have the life skills to survive on his own, his son is probably dead. One day the father is out. It's the evening ritual. He scans the horizon, and this evening is different. He sees one lonely figure coming up the road. And as it gets closer and closer, he realizes, It's my son. He's come home. And he runs. The patriarch, the dignified one, he runs to meet the son that humiliated him and squandered everything. He runs down the road and he hugs him and kisses him. And the son tries to get his story out of his mouth. Father, I've sinned against you. If I could just live in the shed, it's all the same to you. If I could just live among your servants, whom I know you treat well. And the father's having none of it. And he calls for a festival. He celebrates that his son that he thought was dead is home. And they kill the fatted calf and they open the good wine and the party is on because his son has returned home. The older brother, the one who is disciplined, the one who always seems to do the right thing, is coming in late from the field, and he hears the party going on. He's angry and he's jealous when he finds out that the celebration is for his no good brother, the sinner. He inquires with one of the servants. He finds out again that the party's for his brother. Eventually, he stays outside, and eventually his father comes out and he just says, Dad, what gives? I've been busting my butt here. I have to do twice the work because he left. I've never done anything but love and serve you. And I've never had a party like this. And his dad just tries to soften the heart of his oldest son. Son, everything that I have is yours. But this brother of yours, this son of mine, I thought he was dead. I thought he was lost to us forever. But he's home. And so the party's on. And the story ends there. And as the story ends, remember, he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the tax collectors and sinners, the old and prudent son and the rebellious and sinful younger brothers. And I want to interject and I want to say, Jesus loves you. And you. And you and you and you. That every time we make the decision to go home, every time our stomachs rumble and we realize that whatever it is we're trying to feed ourselves does not satisfy, and we turn our face toward home and we rehearse our speech that we're going to give to God, where we confess all the ways we got it wrong, and He comes running to the end of the driveway and He welcomes us home. And for those of us who have tried really hard to stay on the path and practice some level of righteousness, to know that we need that same grace, and when we see it offered, we ought to celebrate as well, because Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves me. And every time we make a decision for the kingdom of the heavens, every time we decide to participate in what is good and right and true and pure and lovely, every time we offer grace and peace, every time we act with charity and compassion, the angels light up with song. Jesus loves you. Don't just drive by that. Take a moment and get down on your knees and thank God that in all the craziness of the world, in all the things that are just pulling at you for your attention, things that are seemingly good and valuable and worthy, take stock, pause. Jesus loves me. And if that's true, which it is, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to celebrate it in my own life and make sure that I share it with people, as many people as I can? Jesus loves you. No matter where you are, no matter what point in your life story you find yourself, pause for a moment. What are you hungry for? Connection, community, purpose, meaning, direction. Confidence that this is not all that there is, that God is with us, and that God is for us, God loves us, and that God is ahead of us, leading us on and calling us home. Jesus loves you. Sit with that one all day. Pray on that one all day and for the rest of your life, and you will find day after day after day that it is cause for celebration and profoundly good news. To which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. We thank you for the gifts of life and love and family and faith, the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves us. And we confess, God, that we often sin. That is, that we miss the mark. We wander away from home. Help us to recognize the places where we've wandered away. Help us to come into our right minds and return home to you, and to receive your welcome and your love. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that we receive. We thank you for the people in our lives that lift us up, the people that we love, the places where we work and play, our homes, our churches, our neighborhoods. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, we pray over this good world of yours, filled with people that you love. Pour out your love and truth on all of us. Make each and every one of us hungry for home, hungry for you. And God, you know the individual joys and concerns that each and every one of us have. And so we make a moment of time in this prayer to share our prayer lists with you, the thoughts and the concerns, the celebrations of our hearts. Join us as we make quiet space to share these things with you and to listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you for the gift of peace and quiet, for this time to consider how much you love us. And we celebrate together with a prayer that has been saved for us since you first taught it to your disciples. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we part from this time together, may we do so with a renewed sense of the profound good news that God loves us, our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loves us and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.